The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Show. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to say that Eric Metaxas is a penny pincher, but truth be told,
he made me buy my own microphone.
And I'm not even broadcasting from a studio.
I'm sitting inside a refrigerator box in my garage.
Whoops, better hurry up. The wife is backing in the car. Here's Mr. Moneybags himself,
Eric Metaxas.
Yeah, okay.
Something tells me, Todd, that was a sound effect that was not really his wife driving into the you got to understand Todd's an actor.
Oh.
And sometimes he uses his acting chops to blow our minds with little scenes like this.
Well,
is it necessary? Not only is it not necessary, I think it's uncalled for and even inappropriate. But you know what? Todd's my friend. So I would never say something like that in public or on the air.
Not on the
because
air.
He's my friend.
He
so
is.
I'm not going to say that about him. But listen. In a second, I'm going to talk about O.J. Simpson. I watched the two-hour documentary last night. I didn't think I was going to watch it. I thought it was an hour. I'm going to talk about that in 2 seconds. In my previous hour ago, I was talking about my cab driver, Lorenzo Giliberti. If you want to know about Lorenzo Giliberti, my cab driver, you got to listen to hour one today.
Okay.
Okay. My little story with he picked up Tony Bennett and whatever. That's Lorenzo Giliberti. My favorite new cab driver. What a wonderful guy he was, honestly. Sometimes you hate to say goodbye. They're such fun people to talk to. What wonderful human being. But actually, what I talked to Lorenzo about was America, where we're going, where we're coming from, and stuff like that. And he could do the commercial for Hillsdale. I didn't even mention him. I said to him I went to Yale, and that's where I kind of learned all these bad ideas that God had to like pull me out of the ditch of bad ideas. I didn't get to tell him about Hillsdale College, but my audience knows if you're listening to this program, I talk about them basically every day. Hillsdale is one of the few colleges in America where they teach students about what is American freedom, what is self-government, why is the Constitution an almost sacred text. Now, you don't say it's a sacred text because obviously it's not a sacred text, but the point is that there are things in it that have enabled us for 240 years to govern ourselves. But as I always say in my book, If You Can Keep It, I basically we have forgotten these things. And why have we forgotten? Because we're not teaching them in schools, and we're definitely not teaching them in colleges. In colleges, we're kind of unlearning these things. If you knew a little bit about this, like me, you go to a place like Yale and you're taught everything. All the bad ideas kind of come in. So Hillsdale, one of the few places in America where they are teaching at the core of a Hillsdale education is all of this stuff, the fundamentals of our American heritage, civics education. It's kind of a big deal. So go to MetaxasForHillsdale.com, MetaxasForHillsdale.com. Okay, before I talk about O.J., Albin.
Yes.
Metaxas Super. I don't know how many people we're going to be signing up, but it's got to be a lot.
I was talking to our connection there in Dallas who has to go through all the process. And it's going to take about a week just so because folks have been writing and saying, look, I signed up. Where's my Metaxas Super membership? We're working on that because it takes us about 5 days to get the list. And then it takes another few days to get people signed up. So we're working on it. We're going to get to you. You're getting your free membership.
But by the way, when you get the membership,
yes,
it's good for a year.
It is. It's full year.
So an annual membership, if it takes us an extra week to get to you, that just means you get it for an extra week on the back end. So you're getting a year. So I want to be clear that we're doing a campaign. We do these quarterly campaigns. This is food for the poor. Some of you know that they feed families in places like Haiti. Haiti is like the number one place right now we're focused on because they've had a tremendous drought. I mean, most people know that they have been through hell in these places, and that there are kids before they have the drought, before they have these tragedies and hurricanes and whatever. It is already one of the most, just difficult places to be in the world. And it's right in our hemisphere. It's like right there. It's not far from our shores. So we have boots on the ground with Food for the Poor to help get food to these starving families. And again, when you think about starving families, it's very tough for us in America to understand that there are children who go to bed hungry. Now, I would say even worse than what they're going through is their parents, because my mother tells me about growing up in Germany right after the war. She lost her father in the war, and her mother would cry because she had no food to give the kids for dinner. Now, that's my grandmother. I knew my grandmother. I loved my grandmother. And then you can't even imagine what it is for a parent. It's one thing to say, I won't eat, but to say that my kids tonight, there's no food. I don't know what to give you. It's so horrible. We in this country are so wealthy. We are so blessed. And as I always say, I say it when I'm talking about America, in every way, we are blessed to be a blessing. That's right out of Genesis. Yes. When God is talking to Abraham, he doesn't bless us to bless us only. He blesses us because he says, I'm blessing you to be a blessing to those who can't be blessed. You're going to be the hands and feet. I'm blessing you. So God has blessed us. It's up to us to bless others, right?
That's right.
So instead of having the government force us to do it through taxes or something, we have to do these things on our own, okay? So why isn't the American government helping in Haiti? I don't know, but they're not. And it's up to us. So if you want to give to help these kids in Haiti right now, Food for the Poor, we're doing a special fundraise for them. A one-time gift gives a starving kid food for a year. Now that, to me, again, is like amazing. Food for the Poor has such resources that they're able to leverage $50 into feeding a kid with staples for a year and basically clean water for life. They're digging wells and all this kind of stuff. So that's what Food for the Poor does. But we said to make it to encourage people to give, we want to entice you by saying if you give $100 to Food for the Poor, I'll give the phone number. You can go to MetaxasTalk.com. Obviously, click on the Give Life banner right there. But if you give $100, we will give you an annual subscription to Metaxas Super. Okay, the value is $66. We are giving it to you as a gift. Not a penny comes out of the Food for the Poor budget. It's basically our gift, because that instead of the money, the $66 coming to the show, we're saying we're just going to pass it on to you for free. We want to give it to you. But we just want to encourage as many people as possible to give to Food for the Poor. So if you'd like a Metaxas Super subscription, or maybe you want to give one to somebody, this is the way to get it. You give $100. Exactly. Every penny goes to Food for the Poor, but we give you the $66 value. If you do it for $200, we give you two annual subscriptions to Food for the Poor. So you and whoever else you want to sign up. And
two hats. That's right.
Two hats.
Share the love, share the hats.
Share the love, share the hats. Albin, that could be a jingle.
Bingo.
Share the love, share the hats. So if you want two Eric Metaxas Show hats, and people wear them with pride, even if you don't want to wear them with pride, you will wear them with pride.
Yeah.
Like it has nothing to do with your will.
Yeah, just wear
it's
them.
Just God whether, sovereignly yeah. says,
well,
when you put
we
that
don't want
hat
people
on,
to repent
stuff,
of pride, so
happens.
Just wear the hat.
So just wear the hat, and it'll be good kind of pride. But actually, I didn't give the phone number. Some people can give right now. It's 844-863-4673. 844-863-4673. Have you noticed, like, when I listen to commercials and people give the number, I'm thinking, like, there's no way that's enough time to write that down. He's like, wait a minute. Unless the guy was poised with a pen and listening carefully.
Yeah.
So we try to say it a little bit more slowly. I'm going to say it again. 844-863-4673. If you want to call, it's 844-863-4673. If you don't want to call, if you prefer to go to MetaxasTalk.com, the phone number, nonetheless, is still 844-863-4673.
What about OJ now, real quick? Because I think you only have
OJ. Yeah, I got a few seconds to say that what I watched last night was bizarre. Bizarre. He basically confesses in some detail to murdering his wife and this man, Ron Goldman. He gives you details, but as a legal dodge, he says, hypothetically. So it's a way for him to get this off his chest, to say what he did for posterity, because it's God is weighing on us. I don't know what. But he goes into the whole thing. He is an inveterate liar. You can see that this is a guy who's lived his whole life lying to women about the other women that he's sleeping with. Like, it's dark. It's sad, actually. Mm. I hope people will pray for him, because he's a very troubled person. This is from 2006. But you can just see that his life is messed up. But in this thing, he actually confesses. He gives you every detail except for the bloody part. Horrible. When we come back, a very positive story about Eric Little. This is the Eric Metaxas Show, MetaxasTalk.com. The new kid in town.
Everybody loves you. Hi, I'm Victoria Hurst. My family's company, the Hurst Corporation, publishes a magazine aimed at young women called Cosmopolitan. Nicknamed Cosmo, it contains pornography that hurts kids. I oppose this and have asked the Hearst Corporation Board of Directors many times to label Cosmopolitan adult material so that it cannot be sold to anyone under 18. But the company has refused to do it. So now I have a campaign called Cosmo Hurts Kids. I'm working with legislators, law enforcement, and community groups to have all U.S. states' material harmful to minors laws enforced against Cosmo so that it cannot be sold to your kids. The National Center on Sexual Exploitation says Cosmopolitan magazine contains pornography and is harmful to minors. American Psychological Association studies prove that early exposure to sexualization has significant negative mental health consequences for underage girls. My website is CosmoHurtsKids.com. CosmoHurtsKids.com.
Imagine an entire nation that can boast the world's lowest heart disease rates, lowest cancer rates, lowest type 2 diabetes rates, lowest obesity rates, lowest dementia and Alzheimer's disease rates. This is not an unattainable goal. The Keto Zone diet can get us there. In the newest book from best-selling author Dr. Don Colbert, the board-certified physician outlines fluctuating and failing nutritional guidelines, the science behind ketosis, and what it means to live in the Keto Zone. With step-by-step instruction, practical shopping guides, and a 7-day menu plan, you'll be fully equipped to make positive changes and quickly see incredible results. And the results are astounding. Reduced cravings, 1 to 3 pounds of weight loss per week, more energy, improved memory, zero brain fog, and the elimination of countless diseases. Achieve optimal healthy living with Dr. Colbert's Keto Zone Diet. Learn more at ketozonediet.net and get your copy now wherever books are sold.
Imagine a politician saying this today. I have wondered at times what the Ten Commandments would have looked like if Moses had run them through the U.S. Congress. That is a quote from Ronald Reagan. He showed us through his life, his faith, and with his words that Judeo-Christian values and principles matter. You can help spread the legacy of Ronald Reagan, and you can do it by getting a Reagan email address. Right now, if you have a Gmail, AOL, Yahoo, or other big tech company email address, you help them market their service with every email you send. In return, they scan your emails and target you with unwanted advertising. Well, thanks to our sponsor, ReaganPrivacy.com, you can instead share the Reagan name with every email you send, and they won't scan your emails. They'll leave you alone. Get an email address you'll be proud to own at ReaganPrivacy.com. Your very own personal private email address is available to you at ReaganPrivacy.com. Get your Reagan email address right now at ReaganPrivacy.com.
Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 400,000 businesses. And right now, listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/America. That's ZipRecruiter.com/America. One more time. To try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/America.
Come out, Virginia. Don't let it wait. they'll start much too late. All the sooner or later it comes down to fate. I might as well be the one. Well, they showed you a statue, told you to pray. They built you a temple and locked you away. Ah, but they never told you the price that you pay. The things that you might have done. Only the good die young.
Hey, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm at NRB. That's National Religious Broadcasters Convention. Doesn't it sound awful? And yet it's not. It's tons of fun. Loads of fun people talking about interesting things. I always have a great time when I'm here. You never know who you're going to see. I'm doing the show with a live audience here. At least half of them look alive. The rest, God bless them. But we'll pray later. But the point is this, that when you have a live audience, it's a whole different dynamic. So I'm sitting here with the author of a book. His name is Eric Eichinger. And we're going to talk about something really important. And I'm not going to let the audience throw me. Eric, welcome to the program.
Eric Metaxas, how the heck are you?
I am the heck great. Is that correct grammar? I always get confused. It is very different to do an interview at NRB just because there's these throngs of disinterested people. But I want to talk to you about your book because this is an exciting book. It's called The Final Race. It's the incredible World War II story of the Olympian Eric Little, who inspired the movie Chariots of Fire. This is getting great reviews. So my question to you, Eric Eichinger, is what caused you to write the rest of the story of the life of Eric Little?
Well, I, like many people, fell in love with Chariots of Fire. And I was a little boy. I was about 7 when that came. And my folks had just recently got cable. And part of the cable package was HBO free for 3 months. And Chariots of Fire was going over and over. And I had never been exposed to the HBO before.
It's so funny because it's hard to believe there was a time when HBO didn't used to play trash.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Remember? It's hard to believe. You have to be pretty old. So Chariots of Fire is one of the greatest movies ever made.
I totally
And so
agree.
Even as a 7-year-old, you picked up on that.
I did. And, it was the little thing of, his name, Eric, and my name. By the way, you have a great
You know what?
Name.
My name is Eric, too. This is freaking me
Isn't
out.
Isn't it crazy? So
this has to be God.
It has to be.
What are the odds?
And I was a Christian, and he was a Christian. And just the running scenes are so fascinating, so powerful. And I had a vision as a young boy of just wanting to do that. And as I grew up, I started to become a really good runner. I was a local track star in high school, and I walked on to Michigan State. And
Wait, what was your event in high school?
I was middle distance, half mile and mile.
Okay, that to me is the most brutal. I really can't even imagine. I remember I ran cross country and track a tiny bit. I was never very good, but I was good enough to run. And running the 220 or the quarter, it's just painful.
It is.
Never mind the 880,
mm-hmm.
But that's what you did.
Yep, 880 and the open mile. So
What's the open mile?
Well, just the mile as opposed in college, it's the 1500 meters. So it's they shape.
I consider the 1500 meters the politically correct version of the mile.
Yeah,
it's the metric mile, which I don't like very much. Okay, so you were inspired in part to become a runner. So then you went to Michigan State.
Yeah, I went to Michigan State. I walked onto the track team. I ended up earning a scholarship towards the end, and so I did very well.
Towards the end of the race?
Towards the end of my seasons there. So running. So I ran all the years that I was at State and scored in the Big Ten, and then I graduated. I moved to New York City.
Now wait a second. I still have to ask you I care. What was your best? Best mile that you ever ran?
I got in the 1500. I did about 3:49. So the equivalent would be about 404, 405.
Oh my
mile
gosh!
Time,
so. Oh my gosh!
So flirting with the 4-minute mile.
Oh my gosh! That's that's a little fast. I ran a 6-minute mile about 3 years ago on the same track that Bannister broke his
Mm-hmm.
And I just realized that now my knee's messed up. That's the best I'll ever do. But I thought I was proud at my age to do that.
Yeah.
But to run close to a 4-minute mile, I mean, it's a full-out sprint.
That's sick. It is. It's crazy.
It's a full-out sprint. Okay, so what happens after that? Why did you move to New York?
Well, I wanted to be in the ministry somehow, but I was getting a lot of encouragement or quote-unquote pressure from pastor friends that I had grown up with consider becoming a pastor, and I just didn't want to be shackled down to the pulpit week in and week out. But I wanted to be a missionary, and every time a big race would come up in high school or college, I'd rewatch Chariots of Fire and just kind of pump me up a bit.
Oh, my gosh.
and then the missionary thing, and I was going to be a missionary in Africa with the Lutheran Church for a couple of years, and then I got a phone call. I had done a college mission trip with Martin Luther Chapel in East Lansing. We went out to New York and met a lot of really cool Lutheran pastors and ministries and things. And so I got a call right as I was graduating to have an opportunity to come out and be a full-time youth worker in a parish out in Long Island. So
where in Long Island?
East Meadow.
I know that neck of the woods.
Right smack dab in the middle of Long Island.
Incredible.
There. And then I was there for 2 years and really fell in love with the appreciation of being a full-time church worker. And then at the same time, I would do just fun races. I ran in the race up the Empire State Building a couple
of
years.
Oh, my gosh.
86 floors.
Don't you know that they have elevators now?
I do now. But 86 floors, two flights a floor, and it was that's brutal. That's brutal.
I mean, your quads must still be sore.
Do
you have quads?
Not anymore. I'm not racing competitively too much anymore. I'm chasing after my kids. But you get to the top, and you're supposed to sprint around the top of the building there to the finish line, and it's a ridiculous comic thing to watch after running up all
trying to sprint, trying to walk.
Yeah, you're jogging in pain,
and
it looks hilarious. Yeah.
Okay, so how does this lead to you writing a book about the great Eric Little?
So I still had the missionary itch. I went. I ended up going with the Lutheran Church to China.
The missionary itch?
Yes, the missionary.
Don't they have a cream for that now?
Yeah, I guess it's just that adventure of wanting to go overseas, wanting to share the gospel, but still not wanting to commit to parish life and pastorate seminary. So I end up in China, and I was teaching at a university, teaching English, conversational English, for 2 years. And it was a rough, bumpy year, the first year, just transitioning. God had taken away so many different things, your ability to read the English language or the language that you're there.
Yeah, that's
in
stressful.
China. It is.
Stressful.
And, your friends, your family, all your favorite sports, all that. And so I got to the end of that rough year transitioning the first 2 years in China, and I took my own private pilgrimage to where Eric Little had died in this this prison camp area. Yeah. Now it's a school, and they've kind of built it up, and there's a monument there. And it was just a very powerful experience for me to find this place and this monument. And I returned back, and one of my missionary friends was like, you know what? This story is not done. This story is not done, what you did and how my life continued to parallel with Eric Little's, oddly enough. And I ended up meeting my wife over in China. And Kara, she was in our missionary organization as well.
So she's not Chinese?
She is not. Everybody always asks that.
Is she?
I always have to clarify. She's not Chinese.
Is she Chinese now?
Not any.
Wait, let me get this straight. Hold on, because you're slippery. You're telling me she was never Chinese.
She was never Chinese.
And yet you met her
in
China.
I know.
Fascinating.
It was.
Okay, so you met your wife, and then what happened?
So I came back. I entered seminary, and I put it all together, and I was like, okay, God, you're very clear with me. This is what you want me to do. So I went to seminary, Concordia St. Louis, and a four-year program, and I got called out. And as I'm getting fed with all of the theology, I had a theater background at Michigan State, running China and becoming a pastor, and I just really wanted to tell this second half of the story. Because, at the end of Chariots of Fire, there's that little tagline that says, Eric Little died at the end of World War II and occupied China, all of Scotland mourned. And it's like, ugh, that's the better story.
You can't even believe it. I don't know if you know, but I wrote a book called Seven Men, and then one of the seven men is Eric Little.
Mm-hmm.
And when you read his story, the Chariots of Fire piece is like one of the greatest stories in the history of the world. And then the second half, which is what you write in your book, it's even better.
It is.
Incredible. So that's obviously what you write about in this book.
Yeah. So, this is the most powerful thing I think that really resonates today is at the time you have to understand he wins the gold medal in absolute dramatic fashion.
Okay, to be clear for people listening who have no clue,
sure.
This was the 1924
correct
Olympics
Paris.
In Paris. Eric Little decides not to run on the Sabbath. He is so serious about his faith, and Scottish Presbyterians in those days said, on the Sabbath, we don't do anything. And he finds out that one of the heats for his best event is on Sunday. He says, I refuse to run. The
the entire nation is angry at him because they're going to, he's going to bring a gold medal. They know it. He's the fastest man in the world. He's going to bring a gold medal. They've never won a gold medal in anything. And he refuses to run. Mm-hmm. And then he decides, well, I can run in another event. Of course, I'm not as good, but I'll run in the other event. And he runs that event, blows everybody's mind, wins the gold medal. It's like insane.
It is.
And that's the story of the great movie Chariots of Fire, which everybody should watch. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about what happened to him after the 1924 Olympics. Even more fascinating. I'm talking to Eric Eichinger. The book is The Final Race.
Hard to recruit the best talent for your business, so you understand how important benefits are. Today's candidates are looking for more than just insurance and retirement accounts. They want benefits they can use every day and perks that help them achieve that all-important work-life balance. With Veradesk Standing Desk Solutions, you can create the healthy office culture they're looking for, where employees can move more throughout the day, so they're happier, healthier, and more productive. The new Veradesk ProDesk 60 Electric is the perfect way to create your active workspace. It's a commercial-grade electric standing desk that lets you sit or stand with the touch of a button, and it assembles in under 5 minutes with no need for professional installers or labor costs. The ProDesk 60 Electric ships for free, and thanks to our 30-day guarantee, if you don't love it, we'll pick it up for free. To learn how you can try the ProDesk 60 Electric in your office, visit veradesk.com/radio. That's varidesk.com/radio.
Hi, this is Rhett Rasmussen of besthotgrill.com. Not only do we have great grills, but also the best hot patio heaters. We are the nationwide distributor for Bromic Radiant Patio Heaters, the very best patio heater that you can get. The Bromic heaters use the same radiant burner technology as our Solaire infrared grills, so they heat up fast and keep you warm so you can enjoy your backyard grill and outdoor living spaces into the night and all year round. Bromic heaters have stylish contemporary designs that fit perfectly in backyard and restaurant patios. We have gas and electric models to suit most installation needs and a portable gas heater that directs the heat where you want it, not the bushes and walls like the mushroom heaters. For top quality performance and aesthetics, you want Bromic Radiant Patio Heaters and Solaire Infrared Grills. Learn about these amazing grills and heaters at besthotgrill.com. That's besthotgrill.com, besthotgrill.com.
Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. We're at NRB, National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Nashville. It's sheer lunacy. Everywhere I look, I see old friends, new friends, former friends who owe me $40 and refuse to, Phil Boyce, you owe me nothing, that I will say publicly. But there's so many people here, and I'm trying to do an interview. So would you people just step back? I'm trying to interview Eric Eichinger about his brand new book on the life of Eric Little. It's called The Final Race. It's one of the greatest stories ever. So, Eric Eichinger, again, welcome to the program. We've got to get to the story. This is an exciting story.
Well, thank you so much. So he wins the gold medal. He's back in his homeland, Britain, Scotland, and he has got everything going for him. He's young. He's an eligible bachelor. He's just graduating college, Edinburgh University.
Hair starting to thin, but in an attractive way.
In an attractive way, as it always is.
Right, in those movies.
And he's got a wide variety of opportunities. He's already been speaking missionary campaigns, and he's got a huge following. The gold medal is just crescendos everything. And this, I think, is the most powerful thing that can resonate with people today and athletes today, with just all of the fame that people seek and crave. What does Eric Little do? He turns his back on all of that fame, all of the opportunities,
right,
all of the lucrative paths that he could pursue, and he goes to the obscurity of China to be a missionary. Now,
His faith is so solid,
yeah,
that this is the most important thing in his life, sharing his faith. And he understands, okay, now I've won the gold medal. What am I going to do with the rest of my life? I'm going to give it to God.
Yeah.
And, not that he hadn't given the first part of his life to God, but now he's going to lay it on the line.
Exactly. So his family is has been in China for a couple generations now, so it's not the most wildest idea that he did this, but his family is already all there. He's got...
They're all missionaries.
They are.
This is what they do.
Yeah, his father left when he was a young man, and then he grew up there for a couple of years, and then he came back to this boarding school in Britain. And so now he's going back with just faint memories of living in China, and his family, his entire immediate family is already over there, and he begins teaching science in the schools there with the Chinese and a lot of the expats. And then the love story starts to develop. He meets a nice young lady named Florence McKenzie. And
is she Chinese?
Well, the interesting thing there is he's about 10 years older than her. And she was in high school when he caught eyes, actually at the young end of high school, about 14. And so
right.
It's just kind of this very casual friendship.
Today, he could never run for the U.S. Senate.
No.
But in those days, it was perfectly appropriate.
Exactly.
And he's a saint.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that takes off, and they have begin to have a family. And then, of course, World War II begins to set in. And there's financial pressures with the mission organization, the London Missionary Society, and the school, and how many teachers they can have and afford and all this and that. So then he ends up taking the hit, and he leaves the school to go stay with the Mission Society, but now he's back in this rural part of China where he was actually born and grew up those first couple of years. So it's a real homecoming for him, but now you've got the Sino-Japanese War developing, let alone the whole global politics of everything, and there's just a lot of dire situations that he finds himself in.
It's tremendous tension. It's a war zone, effectively, and he's decided to stick it out.
Yeah, and he wears a Red Cross arm badge, and he puts himself in some really harrowing situations, and he's got a lot of awesome rescues, and he brings people back to this mission outpost, and then the war continues to escalate, and people get to this decision, and this is what people really struggle with, is Eric Little and his wife, they decide he is going to stay in China, and he's going to send his family with the two daughters, and he discovers and a third child coming along the way. So they go back to Toronto to stay safe, and he stays in China. And for people today, that's a really hard pill to swallow. How could we do that big decision? But to them, that's just the way of life.
Well, many people in previous decades and other eras have really made these tremendous sacrifices that today most people aren't familiar with. It. If you jump in a cab in New York City like I do, and you ask, a lot of those guys are there, and their family is back on another part of the world while they're trying to raise money. I mean, it is fascinating to think that this man sends his family to safety in Canada while he decides to stay. I mean, a lot of people say, "Oh no, you got to go with your family." He for the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ, he stays behind in this dangerous place.
Yeah, he does. And I myself was kind of struggling with how does somebody get to that point? And so I'm a pastor in Florida at Bethel Lutheran Clearwater, and you may remember
now you're a pastor
right now.
In Florida.
I've been a pastor for about 12 years, and so it's this year, and this huge Hurricane Irma is approaching. And it's like twice the size of the state of Florida, and it's slowly coming. And I've never been through a hurricane in Florida before, but
you mean the one that approached a while ago?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So a few months back in the summer there.
I was going to say there couldn't be a second Irma.
No,
that's not possible.
And my wife has gone through Hurricane Andrew, and so she knows the devastation that's potential. And it got around the southern tip of Florida and starts hooking back. So we're in this moment of, all right, why don't I stay for the church and just, if people are hurt or whatever, what I can do, and like, you guys go. And she's like, you are 43 years old, and that's how old Eric Little died. And she's like, we are not doing
that. The parallels are getting too close.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, wow, that is really
bizarre. But you could have said, yeah, but he didn't die in a hurricane in Florida.
That would have been great.
That would have shut that up. It's like, it's over. He didn't die in a tornado, so I'm staying.
Yeah, but I mentally got to the point where it's like, I can see how somebody could start thinking that. Like, you don't want to appear.
Okay, we're going to go to a hard break. We're going to be right back. Folks, we're talking about a new book, The Final Race, about Eric Little. Stick around.
Gold and slumber,
Al
Reuben.
Hey, Eric.
Have I told you about Relief Factor recently?
Please do.
May I? Because yes. I take Relief Factor every day. If you've got aches and pains and you don't want to first of all, I think a lot of people have this attitude like, well, that's just life. I've got to deal with it, right?
Yeah, right.
I don't agree with that. I think you should try what you can, okay? Relief Factor is one of those things that the reason I recommend it to all my friends is that it's non-toxic. It's not like taking Advil or some weird medicine or something. You can take it all day long. This is nothing dangerous. But it works for a lot of people where nothing else has worked. So that's why I say go to relieffactor.com, get the quick start pack for $19.95. You'll know in less than 3 weeks when you take, I would take 2 or 3 packets a day for that time and see how you feel. If you feel improvement, you stick with it. Anyway, look, Jim from Texas writes, he says, I was skeptical, but my wife talked me into trying it. After 2 months of taking Relief Factor, I hardly notice any pain. I'm so glad I found it. Relief Factor works. Relieffactor.com.
It's an amazing song.
You know, I've never told anybody my story.
From Irwin Brothers Entertainment comes I Can Only Imagine.
When I was 11 years old, life was tough.
On March 16th, discover the untold story behind the beloved song that inspired millions.
My dad was a monster, and I saw God transform him, so I wrote this song for my dad.
I Can Only Imagine. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. In theaters March 16th. Go to IcanOnlyImagine.com.
This is Jack from Banyan Hill. You like freedom? I do. You like money? I do too. If you like freedom and money, then you're gonna love Freedom Checks. You see, over the next few months, an estimated $34.6 billion is up for grabs to anyone who stakes their claim. Yep, you heard right. $34.6 billion. To get all the details, just go to www.claimfreedomchecks.com. Thousands of people are already lined up to cash in. Take Doug, for example. He's a 46-year-old from Joplin, Missouri, who's set to get a check for $24,075. And if Doug can do this, I've got a hunch that you can too. But here's the thing. If you want a chance to grab your full share of this $34.6 billion payout, you must have your ducks in a row by April 1st. So don't wait. Get over to www.claimfreedomchecks.com before the April 1st deadline. That's www.claimfreedomchecks.com.
You wouldn't put a square peg in a round hole, so why would you deploy a traditional firewall in a modern decentralized network? Firewalls have new requirements for businesses leveraging SaaS-based applications and public cloud platforms like AWS, Azure, and Google Cloud. We're in the cloud generation now, so your firewalls have to be engineered to fit right in. Reclaim your cloud network. Try a Barracuda Cloud Generation Network or Application Firewall free at barracuda.com/firewalls.
Ike was such a sweet, lovable animal, and people would want to pet him, and they'd come up, and they'd get close to him, and it would be this instant, oh! My dad didn't want to touch him. It's like, ooh, get the stinky dog away from me.
Even after we'd give her a bath, she would still stink.
Very stinky, both bad breath and bad gas.
I asked the vet, and he said, some dogs are just stinky.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
DinoVite.com.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
The ingredients convinced me that it was definitely worth trying. After about a week, he started smelling normal. My husband and I were really kind of astonished.
Dynavite is nutrition.
859-428-1000.
DinoVite.com.
We need Super Tramp. Super Tramp will save the world. I'm talking to Eric Eichinger here at NRB. The Final Race is the book, story of Eric Little. Okay, so you're talking about the parallels in your life with Eric Little.
Yeah.
And you're in Florida. You're 43. That's when Eric Little died. And your wife's saying, you're coming with me.
Yeah, yeah. And she'd been through some of these hurricanes before. And it was first time for me. So I'm like, okay, you know. And finally.
Now, at this point, your wife is still not Chinese.
Not yet. Okay,
good, good.
We'll see what happens.
All right.
So finally, my church elders decided, okay, we're going to cancel worship services for the weekend, and a lot of the churches in the area were doing that. So it's right. Like, okay, I feel free to go now. But that's the wrestling point that Eric Little had, too, and a lot of people. You don't want to pull out when things are getting tough and appear, okay, all the Christians are running away, or the pastors.
By the way, what I discovered in writing my book on Martin Luther is that when the plague came to Wittenberg, he stayed. And he stayed, I think, with his son and his wife. I can't remember. But he said, Christians need to stay behind. We need to care for the sick. We need to do what we claim we're here to do. We don't fear those things. So it's kind of fascinating that, you know, that there's a tradition of doing that. But so but what led you to write this book about this great man, The Final Race?
Well, I really thought that was the better part of the story of Eric Little. Was, you know, he runs a race and wins, but the whole rest of his life, and he ends up in this prison camp, and he's being this beacon of light in this absolute dark place of struggle and strife, and continuing to have high integrity and to minister to people.
Now, he's in a prison camp.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I literally met, I don't know if you know the poet Lucy Shaw, but her husband was a child in that prison camp.
Okay.
And I met him. And to talk to somebody who remembers Eric Little in the prison camp, Uncle Eric, they called him.
Uncle Eric, yeah.
I mean, it's an amazing thing that, you know, even unto today, you can meet people who, it's like they were there. They remember his kindness.
Mm-hmm.
It's just extraordinary to me.
It is.
Because he really was famously generous and kind. And, you know, he's the kind of person you're glad he didn't leave.
And to answer your question, I think we need more examples today, particularly of Christians, of men, of leaders, of high integrity, of turning away from fame, of showing that Christ is the most important thing. And to minister to people, and we have so many people that need to hear that story, and so that's
well.
This is
truly one of the greatest stories ever. There's no doubt about it. That's why I was just so glad to find out that you wrote it. Now, why do you call it The Final Race?
The Final Race, because so many people have successes in life, and, you know, races, if they're an athlete or actor or whatever, and we look back at the glory days, and that's what we spend our time thinking about, is just reminiscing in that, and we don't want to be caught in that. And there is a final race of Eric Little. There is a final race that we all run, and that is our race in faith, in life, and in our salvation, and how we are connected to Christ. And that is the most important race. It's the ultimate race. Yes.
And maybe I missed this, but what was it that led you to say, I'm going to write this book?
I was at seminary, and well, originally I wanted to make the movie, and I wrote this film script.
Right.
And I got connected with a screenwriter in Hollywood, Howie Klosner, and he wanted to work with me, so he's attached to this film script. And I met another friend of mine, and she was like, you know, you need to write the novelization of this. And I'm like, oh, I don't know, I can get an agent for you and this and that. I'm like, I don't know if I want to do that. But finally, I'm like, well, all right, this is another door that God's opening. So I sat down and wrote the novelization, first try at that. And they took it to Tyndale House Publishing. And Tyndale was like, we really like this. We like the whole project and all your stories. Can you make it a biography? And I'm like, oh, well, that's just a simple task, you know. And so they assigned me with this lovely woman, Eva Marie Everson. And Eva has become a great friend of mine, and she's an author of 30 or 40 books in her own right. And so we've got a really unique take on this. It's a biography, but each chapter is going to start with a novelization type of a feel of what Eric Little was doing in true context, but give it a little more life and flesh. And then it gets the rest of the each chapter gets into more of the biographical such.
Well, you've gotten a good review from Kirkus Reviews. It says, a beguiling biography that brilliantly mirrors its understated and remarkable subject. Kirkus Reviews does not throw praise around. That's a big deal.
Thank you. You know, this is my first book, and so I'm just God keeps opening doors. I keep going through and listening, and we'll see what's going to happen.
It's such a big deal, really, to tell a story like this, because as I have said, I don't know, innumerable times, we have to tell the stories of these heroes, mm-hmm. because when you read a story like that, you can't help but want to be like that. You read it and you just say, this is beautiful. This is powerful. I want my life to be like that.
And that's the thing. I look at Chariots of Fire and the profound effect it had on me, not just as an individual, but my course of life and just, you know, helping me to make, you know, better decisions in at certain critical watershed moments right. than others. And I think, you know, you look at all of the negative influences out there with film and TV and music and what that leads our culture to do. We need more positive messaging out there, and with books, with movies, with television, everything. So that's why you want to get that out there.
I think somebody did make a film about the second part of his life. It's just that it didn't seem to go very far.
Well, there was a Hollywood Reporter article that hit, and it was comparing that movie to the one that I've been working on with Howie Klausner,
right.
And that was written by Chinese and the communist view, and they wanted to underemphasize Eric Little's Christianity.
Wow.
And his own family is
Are
not
you
too
kidding?
Thrilled. Yeah, they were quoted in the article as not being too thrilled with that whole film.
Oh, that's amazing.
And it didn't get any distribution in North America, and I think it's...
Well, thank God. I mean, that's the key to the whole stinking story.
I know.
Oh, that's classic. So, that is classic.
Yeah. So we're getting some momentum with our development.
This book should do a lot to get people excited. We're going to be right back, folks. I'm talking to the author of The Final Race, the incredible World War II story of the Olympian who inspired Chariots of Fire. The author is Eric Eichinger. We'll be right back.
Despise the same old lies you heard the night before.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-651-4888 now. That's 800-651-4888 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-651-4888 to learn more. 800-651-4888. That's 800-651-4888. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Dennis Prager here. And for 2 years now, I've been telling you about my wife, Sue, who tried Relief Factor because of her knee pain, and it worked. And if you're struggling with ongoing back or neck pain, shoulder, hip or knee pain, or general muscle aches and pain, do what my wife, Sue, did. Try Relief Factor. Go to ReliefFactor.com or call them toll-free 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384.
Are you a responsible person who finds yourself growing deeper in credit card debt? Then get ready for a toll-free number that will put you on a path to financial recovery. Trinity Debt Management will consolidate your accounts and work with your creditors. You'll save thousands and become debt-free for keeps. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. 1-800-990-6976. 1-800-990-6976.
Talked to me and he smiled, said, come and walk with me, come and walk one more mile. Now for once in your life you're alone, but you ain't got a dime, there's no time for the fool. I just gotta get a message to you.
We got a little Bee Gees action going on here in Nashville. Very rare. Very rare. Nashville doesn't often go big for the Bee Gees, but I don't care. It's my radio program. And we're talking about Eric Little, the great Eric Little. My goodness, if you want the short version of it, if you have a copy of my Seven Men book, read that. That will whet your appetite for the book that we're discussing right now, a full biography that tells the second half of his story after Chariots of Fire. It's called The Final Race. We've just got a few minutes left with the author, Eric Eichinger. Eric, what can we talk about here?
Well, I think there are a number of other biographies about Eric Little out there. And so when Tyndale said, like, could you do that, I was thinking about it for a while, like, well, why do we need another one out there? But as I thought about it, I've got my theological background as a pastor, and I thought, well, let's really do a good examination of Eric Little's theological emphasis and understanding.
That's pretty important to him.
Yeah, it is. And it's really been underserved in a lot of the other things. I mean, he's this great man of faith, and he's a missionary. And so he was a Congregationalist. And a lot of our Christians in North America are like, what's Congregationalism? And at the time, it was a great branch on the tree of Christianity. And today, if you look at a lot of Congregationalist doctrine, it's really had a hard shift open to a lot of different ideas. And so Eric Little left his native land, went back to China, and really he wrote a theological book, actually, Disciplines, and wanted to influence the young men and women in his life. And so looking at a lot of those theological principles and some of his conservative biblical thinking and how he lived and shared that.
Well, that's certainly something that I have not seen mm-hmm. in other books about him. So leave it to a pastor to do that. That's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, it is. And he was slightly influenced by a Lutheran pastor along the way. There's a little blip of a character, Frank Buckman, who is a...
Oh, Frank Buckman. I write about him in my Bonhoeffer book.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah.
He was the head of the, I don't even remember the title of it now, what his movement was.
The Oxford Club.
The Oxford Club?
Yes.
Something like that. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, he was a little naive when it came to the Nazis, but he was basically a good guy.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that Eric Little had been influenced by him.
Well, he was influenced by the Oxford Club that Buckman had started, so this passionate Lutheran missionary-minded guy. And Eric Little kind of got exposed to some of that thinking, and so there's some stronger tenets there. So Congregationalism doesn't have a lot of like just deep bedrock doctrine that they point to. It's more relationship with the Holy Spirit, with
right.
congregation or individual, and so that gave him a little bit more of a foundation of things that, yes, I agree with this, no, I don't agree with that. And that kept him, I think, stable in his thinking and his practice and in his disciplines and his life. So.
Right. We're out of time, but I just want to say again, Eric, congratulations on the book. You may guess that I can appreciate what it takes to write a biography.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. And it's also important because it's true.
It's
not just a story, but it's something that, you know, it's history. And the history of this man, we can't really ever do it justice. It's just such a rich, amazing, powerful life. And now through your book, it's going to continue to touch other people. So once again, thanks for writing it, and thanks for being my guest.
Thanks for having me, Eric. It's been an absolute pleasure.
My privilege. I hope we sell a lot of copies of The Final Race. Folks, check it out. Thanks for listening.
General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.